Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geek Show Arcade.
From low energy to high energy in one word.
I realized that I was reading what I wrote. I just wrote Power on the notes, and I was so proud that I have something on the notes that I went, I'm actually live and recording and hosting today.
That's
the
right.
Energy transfer. So, this is Geek Show Arcade. Welcome. I'm going to look at the camera and say, welcome to you if you're watching us on YouTube. You can do that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I did know that.
They did know that. Well, I hope they did. If you haven't gone and watched us on YouTube,
we probably have more subscribers if we showed pictures of the things we talk about and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm going to show what I'm going to talk about today.
We might have to think about doing that.
Yeah. So, this is Geek Show Arcade where we talk about video games, video game related stuff, and all things like that. So let's kick it off. My favorite once again, Lando.
Oh, he switched favorites.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, now we know he's
such
lying.
Good compliments last show. So yeah, cool. I'm Lando. I want to go on record and say I have three whole stories for this show. That's
first.
Like three times as many stories as I usually have for this show.
Yeah, great job.
Three times zero is still zero, man.
I picked you first so you'd have this energy.
It's 300% more, Jaren.
Is it helping? Do you feel energized because I picked you first?
I do. I feel so good.
Good.
I'm so proud of you for doing your job, Lando. Great job.
Okay, Jaren,
is it a job if I don't get paid?
Hey, I'm Jaren, the consistent one with the stories. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren or at Geek Show Help Desk.
Has Jaren froze for anyone else or just me?
He is frozen for me, and it freaked me out just now. So, Tony, you're up.
I'm frozen?
Video is frozen in a very serious pose.
Let's see if I can fix this.
Hey, check me out on Twitter at QuadTTony or on other Geek Show. Still frozen, Jaren. Other Geek Show podcasts.
Dang it.
But that's enough about me. He's our hostess with the mostest. He's Owen.
Hey, driving the bus to Crazy Town today.
Yes.
And beep, beep, down to the arcade. So, yeah, you can find me here mostly. This is where you'll get the most of my charming personality. You can follow me on Twitter at TechNoan. So, all right, let's get started, huh?
Still frozen, Jaren.
I know.
I like it, but I came back up. I was like, how do you get the exact same pose?
Oh, hey.
Now what are we seeing
Look
here?
Look at that. Now this we're is, seeing oh, the... Oh,
he left.
Device
he
is
left.
Not connected. He is gone.
100% improvement.
Yeah.
Whoa. God. 100%.
Man.
100%. 25%.
Last show, he's dogging on Owen for being too slow.
Oh, we missed you, Jaren. The show is not the same without you, buddy.
I heard everything, you jerk.
Dogging on Jaren.
Oh man! All right. Jeez. Do we have any emails today?
No. No one loves us.
No love from the
just
email
like my
box.
Okay.
That's
well,
okay.
All right. Well, there's a lot of stories here to get into. So, I am excited to see this spec leak. That's what I want to jump into and talk about because
this
is exciting.
PS5 spec leak.
This is very interesting stuff. Now we're going to give you the Cliff's Notes version, but if you want the deep dive goodness, go check out the Digital Foundry Direct that they did special just for talking about this. It's about an hour and 5 minutes long, and they cover every detail of it, and it's. I mean, when you're a spec nerd like me and Jaren, it was awesome. It was super interesting. For people like Lando, this will be perfect for you. Yes, exactly. The PS5 Pro specs have leaked, and it's pretty much a guarantee that these are exactly correct. Because
the first person that leaked them was like super suspicious, but then so many people on top of that, this is true.
And all the sources have been vetted. And then Sony has already even released a statement that says, we're looking into how the stuff got leaked. So, I mean, that's
confirmation.
That's confirmation.
Become the way. It's become the way now, though.
Yeah, to get leaked. But the first person that leaked it was Moore's Law is Dead on YouTube. And that guy, man, he's like he's a broken clock. He's right once a day, maybe twice. But he's like the Nostradamus of tech leaks. If you ever go back and read Nostradamus's prediction, some of them he got kind of right, but a lot of it's just nonsense. You know, and that's this guy. Moore's Law is dead. He throws out just all these random things, saying he gets them from his sources. And once in a while, he's right. But the majority of the time, it's not reliable. Anyway, enough dogging on that guy. He makes a lot more money than we do lying. So the PS5 Pro specs are showing a very modest CPU increase, only in the form of a frequency bump, basically. It's about 10% faster on the CPU, which in and of itself...
PS4 Pro was like 30% faster.
Yeah, right? But you're also talking about a much higher baseline compared to the PS4 and the PS4 Pro. So
right, but I mean, as far as...
consider.
As far as the delta between a Pro console and the base console, it's the percentages that matter.
It's true. It's true. And on the CPU side, it's not going to be a whole lot. Same amount of cores, just a little bit faster. It's 3.85 gigahertz versus whatever 10% less than that is, 3.5 gigahertz or something like that. Now, the bigger jump is going to be in the GPU, and they're throwing around numbers that aren't accurate as far as teraflop counts, but that's because AMD measures its teraflops weird. And it's never really, actually, on paper, it's never as good as what they say it is. NVIDIA is also suspect in this as well. Don't get me
wrong. Between GPU generations, that's where it gets tough. Between RDNA 2 and RDNA 3, teraflops do not mean the same thing.
Exactly, yeah. They totally change the way they measure it, basically. But so the PS5 offers 10.2 teraflops, and the PS5 Pro supposedly offers 33.5 teraflops, which on paper is like, wow, three times improvement? Wow. That's going to be awesome. But that's not what it works out to be. And even Sony, in its leaked specs and explanations to the devs, have said it's more of like a, 40% or 60%?
40 to 60% increase. Oh, yeah,
42% increase, which is...
And to put that in context...
Still quite good.
It is good, but to put that in context, the PS4 Pro was about between a 2 and 3x increase versus the PS4. So 40 to 60%, that isn't nearly an increase compared to the PS4 Pro to the PS4.
Yeah,
at least in pure GPU power.
It will still equal out to be more power for the developers to create prettier games. Or add more resolution to the current graphics that they were already planning for. Yeah. Things like that, higher resolution.
These kind of spec bumps, they're not going to get you from 30 FPS to 60 FPS.
Because the biggest bottleneck right now is your CPU on the consoles. So
and with an only 10% increase, you'll get like an extra 2 or 3 frames if you're at 30 FPS.
Now,
what this will get you though is much better image quality.
Yeah, should either they can spend that extra power on higher resolution image quality or more effects on the screen at the same time, you know, things like that. So the one thing that they didn't talk about a whole ton, but it is covered very well in that Digital Foundry video, is Sony is trotting out its own version of DLSS. They're calling it SPPR or PSSR?
PSSR.
There we go.
PSSR.
PlayStation Spatial Super Resolution.
It is supposed to...
No, not spatial.
Spectral. It is supposed to look or shoot for same quality as DLSS 2. So better quality than FSR 2, more along the lines of what we see with DLSS 2 because Sony is actually incorporating specific machine learning cores like DLSS uses and like XeSS uses with Intel graphics cards. So that's actually the thing I'm the most excited about when they started talking about this leaked stuff for the PS5 Pro.
This is definitely the most interesting bit. And I think what that would get you to compare it to like a real life game, Immortals of Avium, it had a 60 FPS mode, but the image quality was absolute junk. It was like 720p resolution trying to be upscaled with FSR 2. It just looked like crap. This, however, I think you could get a good 60 FPS mode with pretty good image quality between the PSSR and the extra GPU power.
Exactly. And the thing is that on the Digital Foundry video as well. They were lamenting no 120 hertz stuff, you know, because of the very small CPU bump. But I got to thinking about that, and I think Sony is actually making the better play here, because I would venture to say the majority of gamers still don't have TVs with HDMI 2.1 to even take advantage of 4K 120.
It would be sweet if they added frame generation, because any game that is 60, you could automatically boost to around 120.
Yeah.
With it won't get you from 30 to 60 because frame gen only works like 60 frames and above.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome. And so, maybe they do add it in the future.
Yeah, if they could add frame gen, then it'd be a whole different ballgame. But even if they don't add frame gen, I still think it's pretty rad to have. If they could do a 60 FPS game that has a much higher resolution and much better graphics quality, I think that's still a solid win. So
no
we'll
pricing
see.
Leak though, huh?
No pricing leak. You know, Digital Foundry was saying they bet $100 more than what you currently pay is kind of what they're betting on. And I would say that's a pretty conservative estimate. I think it's gonna be $600.
I have a newbie question. Why is NVIDIA not in the console game arena at all? Do they not?
That's Switch. A good question. I like that question.
They power the Switch. Switch.
Yeah. They don't make x86 CPUs, and the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles, they use x86 CPUs. Okay.
That's why they use AMD, because AMD makes CPUs and GPUs, and so they can make it all on one SoC.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
More cost efficient. I think I am diverging with Tony's opinion here. I don't think it's a solid win. I think it's a mushy win, in my opinion. Like, with the PS4 Pro, there was a clear reason for that to exist. That's when 4K TVs started to come out, mm-hmm. and a PS4 just looked blurry on a 4K TV. So pretty big bump in specs there. This, I don't know. I think people that are happy with their PS5 don't need to upgrade.
Yeah, they kind of called it in as far as percentage performance increase.
There'll be those people, like the Digital Foundry fans who aren't PC gamers, who will be like, yeah, this is solid for me, but I don't think it's going to be a big seller personally.
I'm falling into that trend of, do we need consoles anymore with cross-platform? Like, I know that there's still going to be exclusives, right? Like, that's the reason why consoles exist, so you can play exclusives, right? Is there any other reason to own...
super cost effective compared to PC gaming in these
they are much cheaper, and like if you have friends that are all on PlayStation, you're probably going to get a PlayStation so you can play with them.
Yeah,
okay, because like that, like with cross-platform gaming and stuff, like that wouldn't really matter, but if the game is going to be exclusive to that platform for a while, I can see being like, oh, but that's seems like that wall is coming down a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it is for sure. It is for sure.
If you have money to spend and only care about single player games, yeah, there's really no point to own a PS5 anymore unless you really want the exclusives before they come out on PC.
I think we're going to see a sizable bump in the image quality with this, because we're getting, I feel like everyone's getting bogged down in percentage jumps between the regular and the pro, like PS4 and PS4 Pro and PS5 and PS5 Pro. But you can't compare the percentages when you're talking a 10 to 15 or a 1 to 4. Like, you still have overall a larger increase in raw performance.
Right, but it doesn't matter if your frames are 4 times larger than they were back in the 1080p days. Like, if you have a 10 GPU... 10 teraflop GPU and you're getting 60 FPS and you get a 40% increase, you're going to get a 40% increase from 60 FPS. It's not like you're going to have like the power of four PS4s that are, I don't know.
What are you saying?
I'm not explaining this well, but it's based on percentages.
I like those maths right there. Yeah. Feels like mine.
It is. If you're talking about just straight raw, maybe, but this is also factoring in the PSSR.
So yeah, with the machine learning stuff, that could be compelling.
That's what I mean. I think when you factor both of those in, I think it's going to be a really solid upgrade. you know, this is obviously, you know, what do you call it? Speculation. But we'll see when it's supposed to come out around the holidays. So
they're gonna have they're gonna have the same liquid metal.
Oh, I hope they fix that issue.
And the people want to know, Tony, have you changed the orientation of your PS5?
Well, no, but that's because I haven't played my PS5 since we last talked. So,
well, as a shelf ornament, it's fine.
Exactly.
Shelf ornament.
It's not going to heat up and melt all over the place.
Not when I'm not using it.
All right. I want to talk about a couple more things, and then I want to talk about the spring, the game sales. So tell me about GOG. GOG and Luna.
So this just came out yesterday or the day before. GOG, who runs the Galaxy client for gaming, and good old game, GOG stands for good old games, and they're like Steam client equivalent is called Galaxy client. Anyway, they're owned by CD Projekt Red, and they do a really good job at having a storefront for PC that is all non-DRM. Everything you buy on there doesn't have DRM on it, because they also agree that game preservation takes a big shot in the face if you have to have DRM on everything to
screw
it up later on.
How do they handle piracy and
they kind of just say,
eat it?
Yeah, they kind of just say,
please don't.
Please don't, you know? the other thing that they like to do as well is tweak old games to work on modern systems. So you can get super old games like Ultima 1 through 7 for like $15, and it'll run on a Windows 11 computer.
Nice.
But anyway, they are teaming up with Luna. You probably remember us talking about them in the past. Amazon's.
This Amazon's thing.
Amazon's game streaming service, yeah. And so they're basically gonna team up, and anything you own on the GOG store, if Luna has it streamable, you'll be able to stream it for free at no extra cost. And vice versa, if you decide you want to buy anything on Luna and it also exists on the GOG store, you will have access to a license for it in the GOG store for a DRM-free version of it, even though you bought the, you know, the Luna streaming license. So I think it's a win overall. Yeah, I'm going back to that, Jaren. You have more options here and more ways to play. I didn't see it coming at all, because I would never think of GOG and something like Amazon teaming up. This was way out of left field.
Yeah, I never got into Luna. Like, it's kind of been like, I know it exists. And sometimes, so if you have Prime, you can get some free games.
Yeah.
And Luna will show up when you wander over to that part of Bed Bath & Beyond. That's the Beyond section.
Yeah, when you scroll down far enough, you're like, oh, Luna.
Oh, interesting. But it never really took off, did it? Like, it really hasn't gotten the...
It's also not that old. I think Luna's only been around for like 18 months.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 2 years tops. It hasn't been very long. So, but yeah, cool team up there. Doesn't cost the consumer anything. It just provides benefit. So there you go.
Right on. Well, next thing I want to talk about before Steam, because I really want to get into that, is Battlefront Classic Edition. I hear that it's a really good game. Jaren's going to tell us about it.
Yeah. The old Star Wars games has had an interesting month. Dark Forces Remastered came out. That was made by Night Dive Studios. Fantastic job in remastering that game.
Because it was Night Dive.
Then Star Wars Battlefront Classic Edition, which was bundling Battlefront 1 and 2 from the 2000s, the classic ones, hence why it's called Classic Edition. Yeah, this didn't turn out so well. This was made by Asper.
Not Night Dive.
And not Night Dive, and this studio doesn't have a great track record.
Nope.
Sometimes their stuff is okay, but it is not okay. When the game first came out, Steam players said that there was only like a couple multiplayer servers of 64 people each.
Ouch.
Jeez.
And just problems all over the place. errors, session is full every time you go in, things hanging.
I was going to say 9,000 current players when it launched, and there was three servers hosting a maximum of 64 players per server.
Oh, that's like a wait time then, right? If you have, that's not enough people?
Yep.
That's not enough, servers.
That's poop.
Another problem is the original games, they were about, I think around 10, 16 gigabytes total for both games, which was pretty big for back then.
Yeah.
These ones are upwards of 60, 70 gigabytes.
What? How?
I think they just added AI upscaled artwork, which doesn't look too good.
Yeah. From
what I hear.
What the heck?
So massive increase in texture sizes with really no discernible difference to textures. on top of that, they used modders' work, even though they claimed they wouldn't. and the modders have proved that Asper has used their work. They don't want money. They just want credit. And that seems like a small thing to do to give people credit, right?
They already put the mod out there for free to use. So just put them in the credits. Say, hey, look, you know, you mind if we use your mod? Hey, look, the mod right here. Everyone, look how great this mod is. We got it from these guys over here. Aren't they great? You know, that's all it took.
We don't want people to know we use mods.
Asper.
Yeah. Wow.
So they managed to take two complete games and somehow make them less complete than they were before.
Yeah, what was the point
so
of it?
So bad.
Womp, womp. What was the point of releasing these? Like,
to make money.
Just to remake them? I guess so.
Yeah. Cash grab.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's talk about the Steam sale.
We are
all
deep.
The sales, right?
We are deep into the spring sales for PC gaming.
Let's go.
So we've got.
I had an impulse buy. I'm just going to put it out there right now. I got Helldivers 2.
Yep, I just did it. I impulse bought Evil West, and
that's out on Game Pass.
I know. I saw that today, and I was like, at first I was like,
you pulled a Jaren.
At first I was like, dang it. And then, because they just announced it today that it was coming to Game Pass this month.
No, if he pulled a Jaren, he would have bought Wild West instead of Evil West.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Weird
that also
West,
existed
yes.
on Game Pass. That also existed also on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right,
not
so
quite
as better.
Not quite
it's so
as bad.
Much better, actually.
But I picked that one up, and it's got co-op. It's supposed to be pretty good. Squink picked it up as well. And then I also picked up Turok 3, baby. Another Night Dive Studios remake. But we are deep in the heart of the spring sales. March 21st. So after this episode comes out, unfortunately, the Steam sale will have ended. But don't despair. The Epic sale goes until March 28th. The Green Man Gaming sale, who knows? I couldn't find any indication of when it ends. Probably the end of the month. I don't know. And the GOG sale is going until April 3rd. So you still got some time to pick up some sweet games at a good price.
I picked up Dark Forces Remastered.
Nice.
I've had fun with that. They did a great job. I think I'm going to... I might pick up Helldivers 2. I don't know.
I'm going to get... Yeah,
probably
I'm going to get that one.
And I'll probably get Horizon Forbidden West. It's a good deal on for a pre-order.
I was going to say, that isn't even out yet, is it?
It's out this Thursday.
Okay. What's the discount on it?
$48.
For the
so not great, but
that's still pretty good, especially for the site, the amount of game quality and game you get right there for $48. That's a good deal.
I'm excited for it.
Another game I picked up, I don't think it was on sale though. I think maybe I just missed it. But it's Pow World. So
that one's on Xbox.
You bought it?
That one's on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. No, yep. I bought it on Steam. Okay. That's on Game Pass? Pow World is?
Yeah, it is.
Cool. I bought it.
You pulled a
Jaren! pulled a Jaren.
Wait. Nice.
That feels good. That feels real good. I was trying to support the studio.
Good job.
See, that's what I told myself when I saw Evil West was coming to Game Pass in a week. I was like, I supported a good studio.
Yeah. Have you guys played Pow World at all or looked at it? Have you guys?
I have. I put a couple hours into it with some friends.
Do you like the survival game like that? Like it's kind of like Ark or.
I enjoy it well enough with friends, but if I played it, I would not enjoy it by myself.
Yeah, that's where I got my... I started playing because my son was like, Dad, it's like Pokemon with games. Let's play. And I was like, okay, 7 out of 10. Let's play.
Whoa, he's been lowered. Not even 8 out of 10 see,
he
anymore.
Was, he was... So, like, my daughter was the 8. He's the next down. He lost a point. In,
so she went up and he went down.
No, she's 8 out of 10 still.
Oh.
No, I thought...
I thought she got raised up because of her Jimmy John's hookup.
Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, really, with inflation... she's really kind of the same.
Still so, 8.
Yeah. Like, you know, if it was,
that's true love right there.
17 years ago, she'd be 10 out of 10. But you
if
know,
it were 2000, if it were 2009, she'd be 9 out of 10.
Dude,
but
9 out of 10. Price of, you know, inflation hits everybody everywhere.
It's a beast.
But, I started playing it and then, he got bored or whatever. What I hate about it is that you, when you play multiplayer, you host the world on your device. This game is still considered to be in early access or in early development.
Like, early access, you're right.
Yeah, and so I have definitely glitched it out. I have pushed it to see how many eggs I could breed because I really like the gambling part of it where it's like, what about this egg? I like the ADHD gets immediate satisfaction. My problem is they wanted to really slow you down in the breeding and the of pals to find they're born with these passive traits. Right. And you, so what you want to do is mix and match the best traits to have the coolest, most awesomest pal. Mm-hmm. And so they slow you way down there. I'm talking like hours. And so I did a mod. Took a page out of James's book, and I did a mod to make it only take 10 seconds. So that has been feeding my ADHD like you can't believe.
Ooh, what can I make now?
I'm just like, okay, so like you do the math, you're like, okay, I really need to get like 50 eggs to really, like, that's as many out of 50 eggs, I should be able to get the right amount of differences to breed and make this work. And 300 eggs later, as I just like an automaton, just hatching eggs.
You know what, Owen? Never.
It's been bad for me.
Never go to the penny slots in Vegas.
My guy. No,
you will.
Slot machines in general are horrible for me.
You get lost in time.
That's my problem. I went to Vegas and that happened. We were like, what time is it? Like Homer Simpson need to run in and save me from Gambler. Like, but yeah. So I picked up Pal World and I've put probably 60 hours into that game.
Oh,
so far.
When?
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot of hours.
I'm telling you.
You haven't finished Baldur's Gate 3
yet. No, I haven't finished Baldur's Gate 3.
Shame you.
It's the worst. Baldur's Gate 3, just I got so bogged down with the last act with all the different things to do, and I would start one before I was finished with the other, and that made me feel like I was missing something, and I couldn't remember what I was doing halfway through a quest where I stopped. I'm like, I have to finish a quest from start to beginning or start to end, and if I don't, then I'm like, wait, what was I doing?
They have a journal that keeps track of it for you. You just look and see
what
step you're on.
It's so hard to figure that out.
It just pushed J.
Oh. I use a controller.
Just press J.
Where's the J button, Tony?
Yeah, there's no J button on my controller, man. My guy. Me and my DNA.
Okay, so then you need to hit the right trigger, and then find it on the scroll, on the wheel, and just go over to John. It's a quill. It's a quill
it's
is
a quill.
The symbol.
I've seen it. It also is overwhelming. There's a lot in there, Tony. It's a lot going on in there.
Okay.
So, well, anyway. All right. So, what do you think, Jaren?
Six
so
out
you,
of ten.
So, you played Power World? What do you think?
Yeah, for me, it's just a bunch of get this resource to build this so you could get this resource
survival
to build that.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's fun with friends, but it's something I would never play by myself.
Yeah. I tried to play Valheim by myself, and
I had a good time with Valheim.
By yourself?
No, not by myself.
Okay, I was going to say, after about 2 hours, I was like, what am I doing? Why do I care if I have a cabin and can build a rusty sword?
Yeah.
Oh, we built quite a nice fort.
As I was running around trying to find one specific stone, so that I could make one specific door, so that I could unlock one specific wall, so I could build one specific roof tile. I was like, what am I?
You talking about Valheim as well?
No, this is Power World, the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah, same exact concept where you have to find, oh, you can't do it till you find this resource or this level. And it's fun. Don't get me wrong. I have wasted 60 hours, but about 20 of that has been on the breeding program trying to. It reminds me of the Final Fantasy VII days where you tried to get the best chocobo.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried where you try and get the black chocobo. Anyway. So that there you go. That was it. So Steam, so the gaming stuff, you got some time left for the spring sale. Go pick some of that stuff up. Let's see, moving on here. I want to hear, let's hit Lando. Let's get the,
I'll hit him.
Oh, please don't hit me. Jeez. I don't like that at all.
It was Owen's idea.
Yeah, it was about the, but I want to hear about the, this year's game Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah, this is fascinating. I didn't even know that this was a thing, but apparently there's
Lando's here.
Yeah, Owen called on me, and I'm going to talk about something I want to talk about. I brought stories that I want to talk about. I don't care about your guys' stories, just mine.
Sure. You know what? This is going to be the Lando show for the rest of the time now, I think.
I think that's perfect. Let's go for it.
All right, let's go.
So there's a museum in New York called the Strong National Museum of Play, and every year they induct Hall of Fame games, just like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is the Video Game Hall of Fame. So there's a story here I ran across that talks about the 2024 finalists to be inducted to the Video Game Hall of Fame. I thought it'd be fun to talk about. So I'm going to read out the list here.
How did you run across this story?
I don't know.
This story is from the museum.
Yeah.
It's not even this like on Yahoo or Polygon or something. How do you run across the story specifically from this?
I think I came across it on Kotaku and then linked to the museum. Because I'm like, that's the source, right?
Okay, I get it now. How do you stumble across this very specific?
I'm in the weird corners of the internet, Tony. Yeah,
you and Jaren get all the good stories, so me and Lando have to go digging for the weird stuff.
Really true. So this year, the finalists, these are not the inductees yet. These are the finalists. We have Asteroids. Surprising, not already there yet.
Yeah.
That already be Elite there. From 1994 or 1984. I don't know what that is. Guitar Hero from 2005. Yeah. Great game, right? Metroid Original from the NES.
Mm-hmm.
Myst.
Woo, that's my vote. Myst.
Myst is a great game. Love that game. Neopets. Resident Evil from the PlayStation. These are, remember, these are the, finalists.
That's probably my vote, Resident Evil.
SimCity, the original from 1989.
Oh, I did like
another
that.
Great game, right?
That was good.
This one I don't know about. Tokimeki
Memorial.
That one, yep. Thanks, Jaren. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the original from 1999. Ultima.
Great.
Yeah, classic. And You Don't Know Jack. So all these are just like phenomenal games, right, for the Video Game Hall of Fame. And then another thing I want to do here for just a moment is I want to look at the games that have been inducted into the Video Game Hall of Fame already. So real quick, there's not very many of these. I think there's 24 all inducted games. Load more.
I thought we lost him for a sec.
No, yeah, I'm still too. Here. I'm clicking buttons.
Jaren.
The freaking website is pretty poor. The UI. I don't like it. So in the Hall of Fame, currently speaking, I'm going to hit the highlights, the things I think matter. The Last of Us from 2023.
Indeed.
Big one.
The new one, the remastered one, or the original?
This was inducted, the original on PS3.
Okay.
Inducted in 2023. Wii Sports, also inducted in 2023. Another
great game. I had lots of fun with that.
Sid Meier's Civilization, Miss Pac-Man, the Zelda Ocarina of Time, of course.
That'd be my vote, probably.
Pong, 2025. These are already inducted, right? So these are all in there already. The original Legend of Zelda, the Oregon Trail. Generation Oregon Trail,
you
for
missed
sure.
Dance Dance Revolution, man. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, Dance Dance. Oh, yeah, DDR. Dance Dance, right there.
DDR's
DDR.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Invaders, Woo! The Sims, Tetris, of course, the original Super Mario Brothers, Pac-Man, Doom, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy VII, StarCraft. I remember playing StarCraft as a kid. StarCraft was one of my all-time favorites.
Yep.
How long have they been doing this for?
That's a great question.
Because these are games that should have been inducted years ago.
Yeah.
Not in 2023.
Minecraft. So 2018 is when they started doing this.
Oh, okay.
What is this organization?
That
just makes it's a more new museum. Sense. It's a new museum.
I'm going to start a website and say I have Hall of Fame
inducting.
Games.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm inducting this game.
No, Tony, you're not the National Museum of Play, dude. You have no authority
that's
here. This is the National Museum.
I haven't even heard of that until today.
Yeah, it's because all it is is a domain register. So like,
that's true. Yeah. But they have a real life museum you can walk into. They have a physical presence. New York.
Well, Tony pretty much has a museum in his basement.
Hey, I don't want to hear your sass. I'm done. Thanks, Owen.
I am done
with the sass.
I bring to you the National Museum of Awesome.
Of awesome.
Oh, you
behold my curated gathering of awesome.
I own these have all been inducted.
Everything. This has all been inducted. 2024 year.
That empty NOS can, all inducted.
Oh, I love it.
All right, give me tell me about this Apex 4 controller. I want to hear.
I know that
my flow is off. I'm hosting and I'm jumping really disparately between topics. So if you guys want to jump in and help with some segues.
I'm just laughing at Lando's sour face because we poo-pooed on his museum.
I thought my video game Hall of Fame story was a good one.
I do like it.
I just find this strong National Museum of Play interesting.
Well, look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who does that one, right? I mean, it doesn't matter.
Somebody started it sometime, right? Somebody somewhere started that. You know, that museum's going to be one day. People are like, wow, that was started 100 years ago. 3018.
That's true. Lando's like, just getting in on the ground floor.
Yeah. Boom. He's playing his game again.
Hey, Jaren. I mean, Lando.
Can I go now?
Yes. Jaren's going to talk about the controller. I don't care about.
Got him. He had to go to a safe place. We were ripping on him.
Did.
All right. Jaren, talk about the Apex controller.
Thank you. Right.
I went down a fancy controller rabbit hole ever since I saw... what's that brand that makes the Hall Effect joysticks, Tony?
There's a lot of them.
The main
Gamesir?
One.
The main one?
No, not Gamesir. The other one.
Well, the KK...
King KK.
Kong Max 3.
King Kong Max 3, made by
Is it PlayDigi? No, PlayDigi makes the Apex and
FlyDigi.
FlyDigi, yeah. Anyway,
well, you don't know. Anyway, the KK3 Max
was well thought out. As
it was announced a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh, that looks like a nice controller. So I started getting a controller nerdery and went down this rabbit hole.
Nerdery.
It's
not a word.
I appreciate about that about you, Jaren, that you have the ability to really just tumble down for hours.
Yeah. And so I started watching these crazy long YouTube videos about specialized controllers out there. And I stumbled onto this brand called FlyDigi. It's a Chinese brand. And
name.
Yeah. FlyDigi. And they've put out some mighty good controllers the last 2 years. Tony ended up buying a FlyDigi Vader 3 Pro.
Oh, I don't have it with me, but yeah.
He got it for, was it $40 on AliExpress?
Like $43. I mean, it took a month to get here, but still.
Yeah, but the Vader 3 Pro, it has Hall Effect joysticks, has mechanical face buttons, so it feels like a mouse click rather than like a standard membrane button.
It took a while for my brain to wrap around it, but I ended up liking it quite a bit.
Has like fancy triggers that also have mechanical clicks on it, which is super cool. Anyway, I was about to buy that. Then I noticed that FlyDigi just announced an Apex 4, which is like their most premium line. And this is what it looks like. It's like Xbox style layout. It's in this frosted white plastic.
Do you really play with your joystick on the wrong thumb?
What do you mean?
I think it's flipped.
Yeah, well, look at that. This is mirrored. The buttons are on the on your joystick thumb.
His screen is mirrored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump on the joke when I make the joke and drop. You missed it. You just missed your opportunity. I low pitched you and you just went, watched it fly by. It's fine.
We thought you really didn't know.
When it's a bad pitch, it's mirrored. It's a bad pitch, Lando. Come on.
He's great
got
pitch.
A left-handed controller.
Anyway, the Apex 4, I got it for $100 on AliExpress. So it was kind of a gamble compared to the Vader 3 Pro, which I knew was a good controller because I tried Tony's. What's different compared to the Vader 3? It has different Hall Effect joysticks. They're a lot more springy. Like, they kind of act like a doorstop. Listen to this. You hear that?
You can hear the spring in there. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like very springy, they're the nicest feeling joysticks I've ever touched. Like, it just feels so good.
Which is really
cool
because on the other ones, that's where you lose your accuracy, right? Like, the more springy you get, the better consistency and control.
Plus
for small movements.
Yeah. Plus with Hall Effect, you get, no joystick drift over time.
It's
just magnetic sensors, and so they can be reset if you start getting any drift.
They won't break unless the spring breaks. If the spring breaks, then it's exactly. broken. This is what the mechanical buttons sound like. Very, very nice.
Click.
Yeah. And this is what the D-pad sounds like.
Okay, that's satisfying.
Wonderfully clicky. It's the best D-pad I've ever used in my life. I love it.
The best?
Oh, yeah, by far. The best.
They only offer it in left-handed version, though. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's a bummer.
Yeah. Has a little screen on it, which is worthless. I don't care much about the screen. The other interesting... also has RGB. Interesting thing is it has adaptive triggers like the PS5. So, like, if you shoot a gun, you'll feel, like, feedback in the trigger itself. It depends on the game if it's supported or not. Even if you use a PS5 controller on the PC,
pretty
it has to be
rare.
physically plugged in for it to even work. It doesn't even work over wireless, the adaptive triggers. This one does work over wireless, but you have to be running the FlyDG software in the background the entire time.
Don't like that.
And it's halfway Chinese, half English. The software. Fine. So I'm not a big fan of it personally. Just I don't like things running in the background. But I mean, it works. So I never really liked the adaptive triggers from the PS5 anyway. I felt like it took me out of the game too much because, like, why won't this stupid trigger depress, you know?
Yeah.
But with the adaptive triggers, you can set it so that the joystick or the trigger has a shorter stop to it, similar to the Xbox Elite controllers. Now, the Vader 3 Pro, it has a switch so that you can switch it from a full trigger depress to just like a clicky.
It's like 98% less movement.
It's almost just like a button. Yeah.
Just a clicky button.
And it ends with a nice click to it, which makes the Vader 3 Pro awesome. This one doesn't have a click because it's just using the adaptive trigger force feedback to make it so that the trigger isn't as
it feels like you hit
full of
the
press.
Put some
and
resistance.
It feels pretty much identical to how the Elite Series 2 feels like when you put it on the lower stop.
Mm-hmm.
That is my only complaint. I wish it had the clicky triggers like the Vader 3 Pro. Other than that, like, the materials feel better in the Vader 3 Pro. It has this nice rubbery texture on the back. I personally think it's worth more money, the $60 over the Vader 3 Pro.
Really?
But
$60?
Well, because I'm an entitled jerk, so that's probably.
So for that $60, you're getting a more premium feel and an OLED screen.
LCD screen.
Oh, LCD. And the adaptive triggers.
Yeah. The buttons feel slightly better than a Vader 3 Pro. Not $60 better by any means, but just slightly. And you can dial in the joysticks so they're harder to move or easier to move.
Oh, that's right. You can increase the tension or decrease the tension.
Yep. Wow. You can increase the tension.
like on the Elite 2 as well.
Yeah. Honestly, I would recommend the Vader 3 Pro over the Apex 4 just because of the price difference. You can pick it up on AliExpress for 40. Yeah. On Amazon, it's like $80, so I would definitely do the AliExpress route. Apex 4 on Amazon is 160, but on AliExpress, it's 100. But this is definitely a primo controller. I give it a 9.5 out of 10.
All right.
Just because I wish it didn't have adaptive triggers. If you like adaptive triggers, then, you know, it would be perfect for you. Yeah. Vader 3 Pro, in the short time I used it, Tony's, considering the price, I would probably say 10 out of 10. I love the controller. Well, no, 9.5, because the materials don't feel as good. And the pulling rate isn't as high as the Apex 4. It's 500 hertz pulling rate
instead of 1,000.
Versus 1,000. But honestly, you're not going to notice that.
I would say it's a 9.6. I would give it a 0.1 more than the Apex just because it's less than half the price.
Yeah, right. It is.
You could get two of them
quite
for that.
Cheap.
You could, yeah.
Wow. So, solid controller. Check out the FlyDG brand, Vader 3 Pro or Apex 4. It unfortunately only works for PC or Switch. It does not work for PS5 or Xbox unless you get a special adapter that enables it.
Yeah, you can get
some. I'm updating my review of the King Sir that I picked up. Remember that for the
50? Yeah.
Dude, it's got double input.
Oh, no.
It does double input. And let me just tell you, that has messed up my organization or my inventory organization in Baldur's Gate 3 more than once.
Dude, it has a warranty. You should hit up that warranty. Get them to send you out a new one.
I think it seems like it's me. Like, I feel like it's me.
No, that's what they want you to think, that it's your fault. It's not, though. It's not your fault, Owen.
Double input. Like, I don't notice in any game except for Halo, or except in Baldur's Gate, because I'm not trying to be so precise with like item movement and stuff like that. But
Halo, you don't mind pushing the button a few times.
Yeah, no. So
it's not as.
All right. I want to hear one more story, and then we'll run through a lightning round. I think we're coming up on time, so I want to hear Lando's one about Balatro.
I bought a game, guys. I did it. I bought a game. Like,
yeah,
I don't do this very often.
You've been playing it all during the episode.
I don't play a lot of games, but I bought a game and I love this game.
Before you get started, how many hours so far? Would you guesstimate?
I know you have to guesstimate. I have Steve open right now.
Oh.
So how I can many, tell you.
He's been paying attention
we're at
to 8. That.
8.5.
8.5. That's impressive.
And I bought it on
for
Friday.
You. That's impressive for you.
That's really impressive for me.
That's only
been hiding
over 5 days.
I've also
days.
Watched probably another 5 hours at least of YouTube videos of people playing this game.
Okay. What is this game?
You're in it deep then.
Yeah. So this is a fun indie game. This is a game that came out last week and is taking the internet kind of by storm. I'm kind of surprised you guys haven't heard of it, to be honest with you. But this is a roguelike card playing game. Poker themed. It's very, very fun. So the way this game works is you're trying to get... I mean, it's a roguelite. So you're trying to make the best hands you can to score as many points as possible over the course of the game. Yeah, so it's broken down. It's, like I said, poker-themed. It's broken down into antes. Every ante, you have a small blind, a big blind, and then a boss hand you have to play. And the way the game works is every blind that you play, you're given eight playing cards from a 52-card deck. And you have to select which... you can select 5 of the 8 cards to play, and you try to make the best hands possible using poker hands. But what makes this game fun is there's a whole bunch of other things you can buy from the store to upgrade your deck. So there's deck-building elements to it. You can also buy joker cards to improve your score. So you select the cards, you buy the jokers, and you just get better and better, and every run's different, right? So it's... I don't know, it's just... Dude. It's
This looks just like a casino game.
I would
be horrible. There's so many things to click on and things to. Oh.
It's closer to a roguelike game than is a casino game. Like, it uses poker hands, sure, but that's about where the casino.
It's talking about there's a lot
ends.
Of lights and there's a lot of buttons and a lot of things to keep track of all over the screen.
The dopamine release when you like build the perfect
1 second
build, because you're creating a build, right? You do multiple jokers and you create an engine and it does multiplication of the points and you score bigger and bigger points on bigger and bigger hands, and it like goes through slowly and like multiplies your points and goes ding 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 ding, and it it's so right. satisfying.
If I paid you at the end, it would be just like a casino game.
This game came out February 20th of last month, so it's been out 1 month.
Okay, not last week. I just learned about it last week.
Still, it's been out a month, and there's 21,000 Steam reviews on it already.
And they're overwhelmingly positive.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Wow.
So here's my favorite. Here's my favorite review so far, skimming through these. It says, numbers go up, make monkey brain happy.
That is so true.
I was just going to say, dopamine chasers unite. Well, yep, this is just a constant drip.
This one is so replayable too. So it's like, you know, you do a run, you're like, oh, that worked out really good. Let's try something different. This time I'm going to try and do a two pair build, or this time I'm trying to do a straight build or a flush build, or and you get a whole bunch of special cards with special powers and special multipliers, and you got to try and make the best possible with what you got. And there's you earn money, you have to buy things from the store, and oh my goodness, this game, $15. It's the best $15 I've spent.
And there's in-game purchases.
No in-game purchases, nothing.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Yeah, nope, you buy it once, you're good to go.
Here's another Steam review. 10 out of 10, we'll play forever. Card game, best game.
It's so good.
That's all the verbiage they could manage the brain power left. Yeah.
In between hands. Yeah. This one right here. Feels like you're playing a cursed game of poker against the devil. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, if you're into like engine building games and like trying to make the best run possible and get a good build happening, and with a little bit of a puzzly aspect to it, this game's for you. This is a good one. It's different than a lot of the other games we talk about. You know, the games Jaren and Owen play, you know, Baldur's Gate 3, let's go on an adventure and fly around Hogwarts. You know, this is not that.
This is squarely
within the Lando type of game.
It's the non-committal, right? Just pick up, put down.
Non-committal, but he's played 8 hours in the last 4 days.
I mean, besides addiction, it's non-committal strategy-wise. You don't have to pick it up and pick up where you left off. You just pick
up. I'm not
and,
addicted. You're addicted.
Yeah.
So I can stop whenever I want.
That was also one of the reviews, by the way. I'm not addicted. You're addicted. Game is good.
it's very, very good. It's coming out on mobile soon, and I can't wait to buy it for mobile because
I'll get it on mobile. You know
what?
I will get it on mobile. I think this looks like it is kind of up my alley as far as I did a fair of my fair share of card playing back in my high school days, and this I think will definitely scratch that itch that hasn't been scratched in many, many years.
I don't need something that addictive carrying around with me at all times.
Yeah, that's what I'm
ran.
Afraid
so
of.
So what's that GOG card game they did from The Witcher?
Gwent.
Gwent. I got into that one, and then Magic the Gathering. That one came out online.
If
and
you
I
like Magic,
literally,
this game
I literally had
a
to
lot
walk
like Magic.
I had to walk away from that because the pull was strong. It had the nostalgia factor because I played Magic as a kid, and it was digital and rewarding. Ugh, I could never get away from that.
This is the only game that the developer Local Thunk has on Steam.
Wow, yeah, good
and
for
it
them.
Just came out a month ago. Good for them, man.
A million units sold.
This is the year of the crazy successful indies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People want something different. The masses want something different.
I freaking can't stop playing this game. I cannot recommend it enough. $15. I just go buy it. And if you're on the edge, go watch some YouTube videos, and you'll be like, yeah, this is for me. It's fun. Fun game, fun, yo.
Fun game is fun. That's Lando's review. Fun game is fun.
Make monkey brain happy.
It really does. I suck at this game. To be fair, I suck at it, but I still love it.
To be fair.
All right. Hey, well, that leads us to the lightning round portion of this show. My favorite part, where we just pick a story and still talk the same amount and call it a lightning round.
Right? That's exactly what this is.
Shut up, Owen. we're gonna go with Tony first. Do you have a lightning round?
I do. I can't
AKA
decide.
Last story.
Do you want the news about the Apex tournament getting hacked, or do you want the news about the Among Us cartoon casting?
Among Us. Let's do Apex
Among
next
us.
Week.
Okay, we'll do Apex next week. There'll still be Fallout happening next week by the time we record again. So, Among Us, in case you didn't notice, hey, another indie game that just blew up for whatever reason. This one was during the pandemic a few years ago that it really, really caught fire.
Brought people together, right? It was community. Yep.
Virtual hangouts.
There's the magic.
Yep.
And also immediate internet social justice.
For whatever reason, we're getting a cartoon based on it. I don't know if it's popular enough to warrant a cartoon still, but we're getting one anyway. So the voice cast has been announced, and first we have the red player, the red guy, the captain of the spaceship, and that is going to be Randall Park, if you know who that is. He's the he's from Fresh Off the Boat, and he is also in the Marvel movies. He's the FBI agent that always tends to show up and kind of bumble his way through whatever's going on. He's a funny guy. And then we have voice acting Hall of Famer playing the purple character, Ashley Johnson. She is Ellie from The Last of Us video games, as well as many other things. And then we have, what is this? The cynical head of security. Oh, there we go. Orange is Yvette Nicole Brown from Community. Remember her? Yep, she's great. And then green is Elijah Wood, who is an unpaid intern. The green character. So I didn't have any skin in this game. I did not care at all about this cartoon until I saw the cast. This is a really solid voice cast, so I'm going to give it a shot now. There you go.
Did you ever play the game?
I played it a few times, and it was okay. Like I could see the appeal. But it just
at first it was fun, and then when my kids wanted to play, I realized it was just teaching them how to incite a mob to kill somebody.
And how to lie and
like what was that show? Was it how they airlock them out of the?
Well, in The Expanse, they spaced people.
What's the other one? It's the Civilization one where they the Empire anyway that the clones, the three dudes. That clone, there's morning, evening, and dusk.
Oh, Foundation. Yeah.
Foundation.
Great show.
They vote. Anyway.
Well, the thing that's crazy about
Among Us.
So
we don't let our kids play that. We don't let our kids really play that one anymore. Because they taught them to just vote somebody off regardless. Just to take the popular opinion without evidence and space them.
Just go away.
Space them. Yeah.
Among Us is just, if you ever played Murder in the Dark in real life.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
a bunch of friends. Among
I've
Us
I've always
just
wanted
murder
to play Among Us.
Yeah.
Well, what's stopping you? It's like
$2. I have no one to play it with.
Oh, I'm not going to play
just
with
get,
you.
Dude, get into a toxic random group. It's a lot of fun. It's a bunch of 8-year-olds, and they'll just toss you out an airlock.
That. I'm this not is hurt sus. By that. He's sus.
Yeah, I'm not damaged by that. That didn't happen to me. Anyway, Lando, you don't have a lightning round. We talked about all your stuff, right?
No, I do have a lightning round.
Hit me with your
Holy
lightning
moly,
round.
Holy moly, I told you I had three stories.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
So you remember on the Wii U, there was a really cool game called Mario Maker, right?
It's on Switch too, my friend.
Well, was the original Mario Maker on Switch?
No, the first one was on Wii U, and then they made it again for Switch.
Yep, Mario Maker 2. I'm not talking about Mario Maker 2.
Mario Maker was a 2, huh? It was a sequel.
Mm-hmm. The original Mario Maker.
My words.
On the Wii U, they turned off. What did they do first?
His Lando's mind.
Anyway, I can't remember exactly. I'm trying to. Anyway, long story short, since this is a lightning round, they've turned off the servers for the game, so you can't upload new levels. You can still play previously uploaded levels, but you can't upload new ones. And they're going to completely turn off all multiplayer features next month in April.
Mm.
So right now, the community around Mario Maker is trying to beat Mario Maker 1. They're trying to beat all the levels. Every single level ever created and uploaded to Nintendo servers, they're trying to beat them and complete them and give them at least one clear. And they are there. They have done all the levels.
Oh, they did it?
85.
Oh, they got one left. So wasn't there a stipulation to upload levels that you had to actually beat it
before
you
could
upload it? Yeah, you have to beat it yourself before, and it'll screen, you know, it knows if you beat it because it's everything's inside the game engine itself. So
right, yep.
So the creator has beaten this level, supposedly.
Yes, and the creator has. They've talked to him, and then he's like, yeah, beaten this. He's had a couple other hard levels that they've beaten, and this is the last one. It includes like 4 or 5 frame-perfect inputs in a matter of seconds.
Oh,
it's super-duper hard.
Sounds
and
terrible.
They're currently grinding out to try and beat it before. There's lots of people doing it to try and beat this one level before they turn off the servers. It sucks that they're turning off the servers, and you can't. Like, it takes away all the fun of Mario Maker, being able to upload your levels and share them with your friends.
Yeah, it's Nintendo for
classic
you.
Classic Nintendo.
Classic Nintendo, right? But the community's kind of taken had some fun with it and said, we're going to finally beat this game, right? Every level ever created, we're going to beat.
Is Nintendo going to find a way to sue them?
I don't think so.
If they've made any money off of it, they will.
There's a fun website. Has SMM been beaten yet? I'm going to pull it up here and see if you can... Oh, I can't type, guys.
Probably that keyboard.
If this is my laptop keyboard.
Oh.
Which is half the problem. Keyboard. So yeah, is smmbeatenyet.com. And it comes up here and presents you with big letters. Not yet. And gives you some stats on the levels and who's done the most and all kinds of fun stuff. But yeah, the final level, they're grinding it out. They're going to do it. At least we all hope they do. It's really, really hard.
Oh, if they don't, that'll be so sad.
It will be. One left out of all of them.
Whoa. If you scroll down, there's all the stats. A whole bunch of stats.
Cool, huh?
On this webpage. That's pretty neat.
Hmm.
This is much better than your museum story.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks.
Do you think that they did this back then because they're like, how do we create a game that can never be beaten? Like, and they thought this was the game, how did 85,000 levels come about? Like,
that's just how many got uploaded before they stopped allowing uploads.
Just people, anyone can make a level and upload it.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's all user generated content.
I see. Right. Well,
yep. And every single uploaded level has at least one clear except for one. It's called Trimming the Hedges.
I'm watching a video of it. It's nuts.
Bonkers.
I think that's a euphemism.
Is that a euphemism?
Don't All right, Jaren. About it.
So anyway, give that's my lightning round. It's fun.
All right. What I consider the most awesome news of the past week is Steam revamped their family program thing. Family sharing. Before, it really sucked. You could have people in your family group, and they could access your games, but if someone else played any game from your library, your entire library was locked for you or for anyone else in your family. So it was...
No simultaneous gaming.
It was almost worthless.
Yep.
Almost. Unless, like, you had family members across the globe who played at different hours than you. They finally revamped it so that only the one game is locked rather than the entire library. Okay. It is infinitely more useful now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is actually useful now.
It's useful.
Yes. Actually useful now. And this was big news for me because as I've gotten more PC devices over the years and my kids have gotten older, they have started to play some games in my Steam library on a different computer. And while they did that, I could not play anything. And so the solution I was hoping for was you could play more than one game from your own account. Unfortunately, the Steam Family Plan doesn't do that. You have to open up an account for your kids, which I ended up doing. So I opened up a Steam account for my kids under my email address, called it Kids, and made it so that when they log in, they choose the kids profile, and now they can play while I play on a different device.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's great.
I didn't know how to really handle that when my kids started playing my games, and I was like, "But I want to play."
Yeah, so much better now.
I don't want to be selfish, but get out of here, kid.
People with a Steam Deck and a PC,
get out of here, kid.
So much better, or the laptop and a PC. Another cool thing is there's now limits you can place on for kids.
Right.
So I've restricted it so kids can only play an hour a day at most. And you can adjust that up to 24 hours a day. I wish you could bring it even lower to like 30 minutes, but it doesn't go to that.
Still having some sort of family control is pretty cool there.
Like, yeah, yeah. And you can restrict exactly what games they see.
And content too, probably.
So you can finally hide your Lust games.
Yeah.
Owen?
Yeah.
I don't own those. Never heard of them.
Mm-mm.
Not this host.
Oh, right. That was Lando. Okay.
Yeah.
He's playing it right now. Yeah. Look at his face.
Look at his face. Yep. Lustful. How lustful.
And you can see like what your kids are doing. So you can... It's just really, really good. It's only on the beta client. So if you want to use it, you have to enable the beta client for all of your devices, even the Steam Deck. But I gave it a whirl, and it does indeed work. It was a huge pain in the butt to get everything set up with it. It took me a couple hours. But
just like the creating accounts and stuff and adding them
creating
to the
accounts, and how my kids play is they stream to my Apple TV upstairs.
Oh, okay.
For my PC. And so I had to change a lot with how I stream games for it to work how I wanted.
Oh, so it was hard to set up because of your specific setup.
Yeah.
Is it just an account switch? You just go into your account and change it, and it changes across all your devices?
Yeah, so go into the interface section of Steam and select the Steam Beta Family thing from the dropdown. It's free. Nice. Yeah. And then it'll install a new version of Steam, and then go into the Family section, and you can just invite people that already have Steam accounts into your family.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Especially and because theoretically, Steam, you can even share with friends.
I like it because a lot of the games that we play on Xbox Game Pass, the dumb kid games, like there's a game called Spider Heck and just some other stuff.
Oh,
like,
I love Spider Heck.
Yeah, like they have a potential of leaving, but Steam seems to be more persistent with that, and they're usually cheap, and you can find them on sale with the Steam sales. Like, so I like this idea a lot, and then just let my kids play through there. Like a family plan, I can actually restrict it down. That's nice.
Yep. Very, very nice. They probably don't want you sharing it with friends. There's probably something in the terms of service, but I don't know.
Right.
We're not lawyers. We don't read
that
stuff.
Who looks at that crap?
Not me. Yeah.
Not me.
No. Well, I think that's it. I think that's all we got for today. So, you know what? Before we go, though, we got to give a big shout out. I always forget. I always want to forget this part just because I'm not used to it. I zone out and feel. I start thinking about my outro, the small, easy one.
You mean my outro?
That's right.
Today.
But today, I'm driving. This is me, and we can't get out of here without thanking our Patreon backers. You know, you guys do the mostest for us. Keep the lights on. Help us with hosting fees, all that stuff. If you go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/ Geek Help Desk Arcade.
You got it.
Hey, nice. Yeah.
Pulling it out of the abyss.
Yep. You can go there and donate some schmeckles at any tier. At the $6 tier, you get some cool perks with this recording. You get the full one. You get the in-between. You get access to our super secret Patreon or our Discord channel, as Lana calls it. And if you donate $6 or more, you get your name read out on the air here during the show. So Jaren's got that for us.
Thank you to David Roshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony. Thank you. Jason Eatman, Que Onda Carnal. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yep.
Still yes.
Nope.
Andy Bird, the 8-year-old. Not a sandwich. Tony, the home theater geek. Travis Johnson, buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pie Man Graphics on Etsy. Taco. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's sandwich, Tony. Mm. Sandwich. Jeremy. No Name, No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, ONS, Tech Cred Plus 25.5, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Hex. Thank you.
All right. Well, that does it for us today. I'm going to kick it over to Tony. Take us out.
A hot dog is a taco.
Still pulling those host buttons.
Wait, was I wrong? Oh.
Nope.
We hope you care.